Our nation certainly has been dealing with a very hard and rough few months. We've witnessed the aftermath of numerous hurricanes. The last hurricane that came up and visited us, it brought about tornadoes. We have thousands of people enduring wildfires in the West. Countless lives have been lost. Many have been left without power. Many, each and every day, just in our own area, endure just about every type of traffic accident you can find. And many have been injured. Here last week, during the outbreaks of the tornadoes that ravaged certain parts of our area, one man in Pickens County and his family endured a tree coming through their house and the storm taking their house away. And after the aftermath, he was out there with a reporter. And as you can imagine, he was pretty upset. While he didn't have a lot, it was his home. His family was spared. But his comment to the reporter was, "We had no insurance." You know, it seems to be that, you know, we ask that question occasionally. Well, were you covered? Well, what kind of coverage did you have? The people that endured the flooding in Houston, many of them had allowed their flood insurance to lapse, not thinking they would ever need it. As we know, most insurance companies provide a very valuable service. And a lot of us have been wisely counseled in the need of having insurance in one form or another. For some things, it's against the law not to have insurance. If you wanted to drive your car, you better have some sort of insurance with it. If you are making house payments, the mortgage company will require you to have insurance on your home. Though we may not like to pay the premiums, most of us realize the potential benefits that makes the price worth being paid. There is a spiritual angle to the insurance business. God is, whether we want to look at it this way or not, is in the insurance business. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 32, God here told Moses and promised him that he would cover him as he passed by. Now that might be a stretch. But Moses promised the tribe of Benjamin in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 12 that the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. In the 91st Psalm, in verse 3 and 4, it gives us a wonderful picture to look at in words. It says, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Oftentimes I wonder what mankind will look like from God's vantage point. Nothing escapes. You know, our satellites that we have in constant orbit, they look down on just one part of our world. A satellite on one side of the world cannot see what's going on the other side, but God can. And God created the world in such a way that all of these disasters that have gone on throughout the world will occur. It is the one thing that allows the world to keep exploding like a cannonball. We may not understand why earthquakes and volcanoes happen, but God does. It is His relief valve for us. But God can see that there is an impending disaster far worse than anything nature can go our way. This disaster will not destroy a home. It will not destroy a car. It will not destroy even a town. But it will take care of the whole earth. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 that when He comes, nothing will be left. Nothing. All of the elements will be consumed. It will not involve just 100 people, or even 1,000, or even hundreds of thousands. But as 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 reveals, it will affect every soul on this planet. But God, in His infinite love and wisdom, provides coverage for those who are willing to pay the premium. Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 28. He said, "For which of you intending to build a tower sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it? And all that behold it will mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits down not first and consults whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet far away, he sends an embassage and desires conditions of peace." Now here's what Jesus gets to. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes all that he has, forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." You see, there's the premium. There is the premium. And just like our insurance premiums that come up due every month, we sit there and we complain sometimes. Many today have watched their health care premiums go out of pocket so fast they can't hold on to it. But when we look at the premium that God requires, it is a very expensive premium. But the coverage is unlike any that man can ever devise. But if God is in the insurance business, then we are His agents. We seek to cover our friends and our families, our neighbors, our co-workers. The commission that we receive is extraordinary. The drive that pushes us there is love. You know, in Genesis chapter 9, when Noah was uncovered in his tent, he got drunk, to be perfectly honest. And when his two sons, Shem and Japheth, was told, they entered his tent with their backs to him, and they had a coat over their back, and they backed up to him and covered him in his nakedness. They covered their father's shame. They did what love always does. cover the shame of sinners. And the Bible teaches us to do just that. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love converts all sins. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. The fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeateth a matter separates very friends. And one of my favorites, 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Have fervent love among yourselves. For charity, for love, shall cover a multitude of sins. When we love someone, when we love someone deeply, we will not sweep things under the rug. Many years ago, right after Vicki and I had gotten married, and we were living in our apartment, and I got a phone call one night from my brother. And all he said was, if mom or dad calls, I was with you. I will not go into the episode that led up to that phone call, but it was very funny. Years later, it was revealed. Of course, my mom had an idea that it was my brother that did this thing with his friend. But, you know, oftentimes as younger folks, we will cover somebody to try to keep them out of trouble. But oftentimes what happens is when the truth is found out, that those who try to cover for someone else ends up in a worse position than the one that committed the offense. Trust in that individual. Maybe the esteem that you once were held up to has been shattered. And oftentimes we end up looking just as bad or even worse than our friends did. Sin, my friends, is like a rubber tire. It does not stay buried. It does not stay buried. Paul in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24, he said, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men they follow after. So then what does the Bible mean when it says that love covers all sins? We cover their sins when we help them get rid of their sins. We cover their sins when we help them get rid of those sins. In James 5 and verse 20, James says, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now that doesn't mean that we're to go out here and help somebody and convert them and have their sins washed away while we're out doing all kinds of stuff and thinking, well, that's covered. That's all going to be erased. That's not what James is getting to. But when we help someone else out as an agent of Christ, when we do everything that we possibly can to get them to pay the premiums, and God will smile down upon us as His servants. It doesn't do any good to cover one's sins so that others do not know of them. Children can hide things from their parents. We've probably seen some things in our household that have gone missing. And we might even ask the question, do you know what happened to this? And we'll get the shrug. I don't know. I don't know. It was a very difficult time, as Barney will find out later on, and Rachel, when you're an identical twin. And the other one will say, well, he did it. Especially in full sight of the parents, where when your back is turned, they cannot tell you apart. I remedied that situation early in life. When my brother ran, so did I. But you know, we can try to hide things from other people. But we oftentimes don't realize that while we may have fooled our fellow man, we can never fool God. He knows exactly whose hand was in the cookie jar. Proverbs 28 and verse 13, Solomon said, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. And then he says, but whoso confesses and forsakes them, the sins, do away with them, he shall have mercy. Hebrews 8 and verse 12, it says that the only way to cover one sin is to have them erased from the mind of God. So how do we do that? How can we erase something? You know, today in the digital age, it's fairly easy to erase something. You know, before it used to be, well, once it's on the computer, it's always on the computer. Well, now that's not the case anymore. There are things that can completely erase it, including a foot. But in order for us to be able to erase it from the mind of God, we have to repent. We have to make that confession. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we need to be immersed in order to have those sins blotted out. The Scriptures is full of what God does. He throws it into the deepest ocean. He throws it over His shoulder. As far east, where east never meets west, He forgets about it. You know, it's not like you and I. You know, we can forgive someone, but, you know, we always seem to have a way of remembering things. Sometimes it's not prudent. Sometimes there are those who are so Christ-like that even when things are brought up again, they will never mention them again. But a lot of us aren't like that. But God is. Our sins are covered by repentance. Our sins are covered when we confess and with prayer. You know, when someone tells us and reminds us that we are continually washed by the blood of the Lamb, that should stand to prove just what kind of life insurance we have. The 32nd Psalm in verse 1, the psalmist writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What kind of policy do you have today with our Lord? What kind of policy can you rely on when it's time to use that policy? What we have is better than term life. What we have is better than whole life. We've got something. When we use our life insurance policies, who benefits from them? It's not the dead. But with God's policy, It is the dead that benefit. That makes it the best insurance man can buy. And when you buy it through your sacrifice, when you turn your life over to Him, you don't have a lot of gobbledygook in there of what is covered and what isn't covered. It's pretty plain and simple. So I ask tonight, what policy do you have? Do you have one that will carry you through? Or do you have one that's just going to be good for you while you are here? And it will stop here. That when you die, you will remain dead spiritually. We want to give you the opportunity to have a policy that will cover you for eternity. To repent and confess and to be baptized for the remission of sins. To sacrifice the life that you are now living in sin. To be covered is beyond measure. That we want to give you that opportunity tonight to choose. And if you so desire to have that policy, we pray that you will come. If you are a child of God, as we said, you cannot hide things from God. We, each of us, can be deceived at one point or another, but not all, and certainly not God. If you need to make things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity tonight also. So that your insurance policy that you have will not be rescinded. If there is anyone that has a desire tonight, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.